Continuing, I made an executive decision, a pastoral decision. The book of James for us was only supposed to be a three-week sermon series, but it just got so good to me that, and I know it got so good to you, that I just decided to let's just continue and let's finish out this book of James. And so if you can, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. So last week, if you were not here, we went out and walked and prayed for the community. And so I want to take this time real quick to tell you that this afternoon at 4 p.m., from 4 to 6 p.m., we're going to be having our trunk or treat. And so if you can, we ask you to come out and let's just have a good time together. Amen. All right, so I think we left off in the fourth chapter of James. And so today we're going to be in James 4, verses 13 through 17. And I'm going to start it out, and we will finish up chapter 4 this week. And then chapter 5, we will divide it in two and finish out the book of James. So if you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. There isn't any hold ups. All right, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. For you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So for the one who catches this knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. Now, if we can throw up our statement on the screen, let's go ahead and read our Connect mission statement on three. One, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Dear Heavenly Father, here we are again, God. Your humble servants, God, just coming, God, to receive a word from you. Here we are, God, with open arms and open hearts, God, to receive the sustenance, God, from your word. God, we pray that this word today fall on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. God, so that we might not be just hearers of the word, but God, that we will be doers of your word. And so, God, we just pray that this word today saturates us. And God, here I stand, your humble servant, God, with one request. And that is, God, for you to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes in which you created me for. And God, I know that that is to make your name great. And so, God, we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen as you take your seats. So we have been in this sermon series called James, Let's Talk About It. Children, you are dismissed. One of these Sundays. So we have been in this sermon series called, in the book of James, called Let's Talk About It. And this week, what we want to talk about is God's will versus our will. God's will versus our will. And I know that that's one of probably the most profound or the most, that's probably one of the questions that is asked the most, that is one of the most prevailing questions in this life is, what is the will of God for me? What purpose was I created for? What is God's will for my life? And there's been several books that have been authored about man and his search for meaning. And I think if we just took a poll, I believe most of us ask ourselves that question consistently. God, why am I here? God, what are you doing? God, where are you carrying me? And I like this book of James because James is addressing a church comprised of Jewish Christians. And they've been scattered abroad because they're being persecuted. And in their persecution, and as they're being scattered, some of their Christian values, some of the things that they believed when Jesus was here, they're starting to wane. And so what James has done is he authored this letter to help get this church, this group of believers back in line. And I believe chapter 4 is probably one of the most important chapters of all of them, because now James is shifting from now just talking about what we are talking about. He spends a bunch of time talking about what we talk about and how we say it, and the implications of how we talk to others, how we talk to ourselves. But now he's moving into a really crucial point. He's moving to a crucial place. And he says here, and he starts out, he says, come now. And when you see that, come now, you who say, to kind of put that in our vernacular today, he would say, man, you must be kidding me. You must be kidding me. He says, come on now. Come on now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do such and such. And what he's saying is he switched his audience to now to people who are planning to do things and are planning and making schedules, and they're losing concern, and they have lost one of the most important aspects of life for a believer. And he says, tomorrow we will go and do such and such in such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. What James is telling the church then and what I'm telling the church now is, it is frivolous to make plans excluding the will of God. And we do it all the time. As a staff, we're planning for next year, and we have been praying about it and seeking God, and we can make the best of plans. But if you don't leave room or make room in your planning for God, I'm telling you, you're making plans frivolously. And James is saying, I can't believe that you are planning all of this and you're not including God. Because how many of us know and can testify that God is a great interrupter of plans? Man, we can take all the time to lay out and look at the calendar and research different things, but if it's not in the will of God for your life, God is a great interrupter of plans. I wouldn't be here if God didn't interrupt the plans that I have. And I know I'm not the only person here. If by a show of hands, how many of you ended up where you are today because you made plans to do this, but God had plans for you to do that? Because here's the thing. As we go through life, there are realities that we must understand being followers of Jesus Christ. And James shows us three realities in this verse. And the first reality that James shows us is this, is that life is complicated. Can anybody agree that life is complicated? Life is complicated, life is confusing. Just when you think you got this hole plugged, a hole will come up over here. And just when you get this one plugged, another one will come up over here. And it, sometimes you could find yourself, what is the game that has all of the squares and you have to put your foot here and put your foot there? What is Twister? Circles. Life is full of twists and turns. And when we make plans and we don't include God, it complicates it even more. So life is complicated. And what James also says here is, he says in verse 14, he says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. He says, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while. And he says, then you vanish away. Life is complicated and life is uncertain. And whenever I hear someone say, oh man, we lost him or her unexpectedly. No, we didn't lose them unexpectedly. Life is just uncertain. And the Bible is clear that no man knows the day or the hour that God is going to call us to be with him. We don't know the day that we're going to fold up our tent and move to that hopefully heavenly place for all of us. Life is complicated and life is uncertain. But some of us, we live like we know that tomorrow is promised. And I'm not saying don't make plans. Hear what I'm saying. Make your plans. But as you make your plans, just leave some room for God. Consult God. Ask him. Get God's wisdom on your plan. Because life is uncertain. And life is very complicated. But James also goes on to say in verse 15, he says, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while. James says that we are just here for a moment. And I know when we're young, just getting a new family, I mean, fresh out of college, man, we feel like we got all the time in the world. Now that I've turned, that I've crossed over 50, almost at 60, I know I feel the same way. Now that as I inch closer to 60, this realization has hit me, is that I have so much more time behind me than I do in front of me. So now I got to make every day count. I don't have any more time to waste. I got to make every day count. But what James is telling us, no matter what your age is, because life is so uncertain and we're only here for a fraction of a time, make every day count. Don't let a day go by without telling your wife or your husband, I love you. Don't let a day go by that you don't tell your kids, I love you. Don't let a day go by that you don't show somebody some grace. Because we're only here for a moment. I heard one guy say, he says, the day from the day that you came into this earth to the day that you leave, this part right here is called in the dash. What are you doing in the dash? Because you're not promised to live a long life. James is reminding the church, like I'm reminding us today, is that we're only here for a brief moment. What are you going to do while you're here? What impact are you going to make while you're here? It's the only thing that's going to be said about you was, man, you sure had a bunch of clothes. You had some nice shoes. Oh, he had a good job. Oh, he was a good person. What's going to be said about you when the vapor of your life vanishes? That's what happens when we exclude the will of God from our lives. But I love what James says in verse 15. He says this. He says, you ought to say, now here's what you should say. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. And man, as a kid, I used to hear that a lot. People would just, it was just part of their conversation. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. And as a kid, you don't understand that. But as you continue to matriculate through this thing called life, you will soon find out that if the Lord wills. Because we have had plans and we've had grandiose plans and grandiose desires. Because for me, I can tell you, by now, I was going to have a company that was worth $100 million. Going trekking toward $200 million. That was my life goal, was to build a company that had a value of $100 million. But I didn't say, if the Lord wills. This is what Aleem wills. And see, this is where this sermon title comes in, is God's will versus our will. And when we choose to live in God's will, Living in God's will is the key to freedom in life. When you take time and understand the will of God for your life, you will find freedom there. James says, if the Lord's will, we will also do this or that. But see, you can't live in God's will without having a dynamic relationship with God. And I don't know why I've been stuck on that. It came up again Thursday in our life group. It's starting to repeat itself over and over again, this dynamic versus static relationship that we as believers find ourselves in. Because when you have a dynamic relationship with God, you're starting to come to the understanding that it's God's will and not mine. Because as you continue to dive deep into God's word, and I'm going to pause right here for a second, but I just want to ask you a question. If we're looking for God's will, where do you think the first place that we should look? The Bible. If this is the key to the will of God, I think Psalms 1:1 says it like this. He says, blessed is the man who finds delight in the law. And he says he meditates on it day and night. If you want to know the will of God for your life, you must first have a dynamic relationship with God. And then not only when we live in God's will, we have to understand the will of God for our lives. It's one thing to read it, but do you understand the will of God for your life? And can I say this, and this is going to probably be controversial. It's not up to me to help you find the will of God. I can't tell you what the will of God is. That's what I'm saying. But we are here, I'm here, the church is here, is to assist you and to walk alongside of you as you discover God's will for your life. But if we're going to discover God's will for our life, we must be willing to put in the time and the effort to dig into God's word and understand God's word so that we can discover the will for our lives. Also, if you, Ephesians 5:17 says this. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And you get this understanding by spending time with God and with God's word. And when we live in the will of God, we must move from knowing the will of God to being filled with the will of God. Turn with me real quick to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Because I notice you're saying, what is this guy talking about? Colossians 1:9 says this. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking," underline this, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." That's Paul again telling the church that he's been praying that they might be filled with not just the knowledge of his will, but in spiritual wisdom and understanding. So then the question becomes, how do I know the will of God for my life? How do I know the will of God for my life? I'm going to read this one. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but you can on your own. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, it says this. And before I do that, when you just do a search, if you go to Bible Gateway and just do a search on the will of God, you will find out that there is some 1,700 times that the will of God is listed throughout the Bible. Seems like to me that's a very important subject for us to start understanding, amen? And so in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse, it says this. It says, "For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God." And he also says this. He says, "Your sanctification." Your will of God and sanctification, they're connected. And he says, "That is that you abstain from sexual immorality." If you want to know the will of God for your life, let's start there. But then he says, the will of God, sanctification. And I like how sanctification was explained to me when I went to school, and man, it just really just helped me wrap my mind around this sanctification process, and I want to explain it. The way it was explained to me is that on that side, like this right here is the gulf. This is the gulf that separated God and man. And when Jesus Christ came, Jesus was the go-between, or he was the pathway over for us to go from a distance relationship with God to now we've crossed over and now we are back in the good graces of God. And here's where the sanctification process starts. The sanctification process starts when you, if that's the old you, if that's you when you were separated from God, as we continually to take a step and progress this way toward a relationship with God and understanding who God is, every time we take a step, we get closer and closer to God. And we begin to not look like what we used to be, but we start now going toward who God has called us to be. And so here it is, here it is, here is the problem. The problem is that some of us get stuck, like right after we cross over the bridge. Jesus is the bridge. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've crossed over the bridge. But for some of us, we're still stuck just at the bridge. I'm saved now, I'm sanctified, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm as loved as I will ever be by God, because now Jesus has become the bridge to to right my relationship with God, but here it is, I'm stuck. I haven't gotten any deeper in my relationship with Christ, but I'm saved. I haven't moved toward God at all, but I'm still saved. I'm headed to heaven, but I'm not as sanctified as God would like for me to be. What God desires for us is every day, every hour, we just keep inching and inching toward him. And the more we move toward him, the more we leave the old person that we used to be. But the thing is we want to stay stuck. We are complacent. We don't want to pursue him. We don't want to go after him. And every time I do this, I think about when Jesus first came on the scene and he walked and he stopped and asked the fishermen, he says, "Come and follow me." That's the sanctification process is. The sanctification process is after you've accepted Jesus Christ, you come now and you follow him to the throne room of God. You start moving toward a loving relationship with him. All of the things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. You're growing in your relationship and you're starting to look lesser and lesser like you. What am I saying? The most beautiful thing for a believer is, man, when we take our will, because God created us with the will, and we take our will, our desires, all the things that we want to do, and we take them and we bring them under the authority of God. Man, that's a beautiful thing. That's what God is seeking after. That's why God pursues us the way that he pursues us, because here it is, when the created submits his will to the creator. When the created submits his will to the creator, that's when you find joy. You find joy when the created submits to the creator. That's where you find purpose. When the created submits his will to the creator, that's when you find the will of God. That's when you find peace. When the created takes his will and comes under the authority of God, and says, "God, whatever that you would have for me to do, I'll do it. God, wherever you tell me to go, I will go. God, whatever you tell me to say, I will say it. God, whoever you command me to love, God, I'm going to love him. In spite of what I may feel, in spite of what I may think, in spite of me, God, I love you and submit to you." And so as I close, this book of James is really working on me. And I pray that it's working on you, because where we're going as a church, as a fellowship of believers, we're going to need everything that James is talking about. We're going to have to control what we say, how we say it, and who we say it to. We're going to have to ask for wisdom from God. And we're going to have to bring our will under the authority of God's will. We're going to have to humbly submit ourselves. Submit and surrender. Our way of thinking, our desires, our passions. Why? Because until you do, we really won't discover who God is and what God has planned for us. Because God has a glorious plan for our lives. And some of us go through life not discovering it. We were in a life group the other day, and someone said, "Man, at times I just wish I was I wish that God didn't create us with free will." I said, "What kind of life would that be? Where you're just going through the motions? Because it's what you've been programmed to do. But how much more beautiful it is when you relinquish control of your life for a God like the God that we serve." All right, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for today. God, I thank you for this penetrating word from James. And God, I know that he hits on some conversations. He highlights things that we really don't want to talk about, but we need to talk about. And so, God, I just thank you for giving us the strength, the wisdom, and the open hearts, God, to receive this word from James, which is from you. And so, God, I pray if there's anyone here today, God, who's struggling with submitting their will to your will. Anyone here, God, that continues to plan and go about life and they don't make room for you. God, I pray that you touch their hearts today, God. Because God, you are pursuing us. I mean, with everything in you. Because you're seeking a loving relationship with us. And God, we need a loving relationship with you. And so God, I pray that this word today, God, that it falls on the good soil of our hearts. God, that we don't make plans, that we don't ascribe to do anything, God, unless we first consult you. That we ask you for wisdom, God. And God, that we leave room for you. And God, also I pray, God, that when you are acting like the divine interrupter that you are, I pray, God, that we understand and see, God, and know. And God, oh God, and I pray that we trust, God, that you would not lead us anywhere, God, that would harm us. God, that we can trust you. We can trust you with our hearts, and we can trust you with our will. That as we bring our will under the will of you, God, we can trust you. So God, I just give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.